I don't wanna be the boy that runs in the back. I don't wanna be the kid that falls in the dark. All I really want to be is the guy that gets that girl.
Welcome to the AJ Steele Show. We discuss politics, sex, money, and everything in between. And now, here's your host, an immigrant, a self-made millionaire, an American, AJ Steele.
Everything I say and do, I'm just not good. My dear listeners and fellow Americans, our country's at war. No, we're not fighting the Nazis or the Russians or not even the Chinese. What we're fighting is the globalist swamp, which has controlled our media and our school system for over 50 years. But these billionaire industrialists are way too smart to fight their own battles. No, they're not going to get bloody. They're not going to get their hands dirty. Why would they if they can find useful idiots to do all their bidding for them? And you want to know who those useful idiots are? The folks who are fighting to help the rich get richer and basically more powerful? The people fighting their battles are your children and coworkers and your friends and your grandkids. Not since the days of Nazi Germany have I seen a whole country under mass hypnosis like I'm seeing in America right now. A whole generation of young people has bought into the hysteria of inequality and racism. These worthless little spoiled automatons are willing to burn down and destroy everything that you and your parents worked so hard to build. These lazy, self-hating little losers want to obliterate the system that gave them such a good life and so many comforts. All in the name of a revolution that will take away not just ours, but their freedom, their First and Second Amendments, their chance at a brighter future. They want to destroy the American dream that so many of us have yearned for. The American dream that many have fought and died for. The American dream that my whole family dreamt of when we immigrated here with less than $1,000 in our pockets. But who is to blame for children who are all too happy to turn in their very own parents to the thought control police? Kids who write nasty things on social media about their parents, calling them racists and killers and evil. And how about grandkids who attack their own grandma and grandpa who did nothing but love them all their lives? And who's to blame for arrogant white people who are constantly calling out the white privilege of their white friends? Who's to blame for the arson, for the lootings, for the toppling of statues, the kneeling, the pathetic bending over of our corporations, the NFL, the NBA, baseball, NASCAR? So who's to blame? You know who's to blame? You and I. We are the ones who slept and didn't vote when our local governments were being taken over by radical lefties. We are the ones who never said a word to challenge any of those radical teachers who taught our kids to hate America from kindergarten to high school and through college. We are the ones who kept our mouths shut when racist blacks and Hispanics called our nation every name in the book and acted like thugs. We took it like little girls and never fought back when Democrat after Democrat bashed our country repeatedly. And after the Democrats and the Republican establishment sold our factories to China, we bent over backwards not to look like racists when illegal aliens invaded our country like third world soldiers. We let the homeless defecate and urinate and shoot up in our streets. And like addicts, we kept spending our hard-earned money to see movies and to listen to music from people who absolutely despise us. Day in and day out, they bash who we are, they bash our culture, they bash our country, and yet we make them rich. But the worst thing we ever did, the absolute worst thing we ever did, was letting down our kids because of our own laziness and selfishness and vanity. We let them learn about life from the media and from schools, not from us. Many of us were too busy with our own selfish pleasures. TV, social media, alcohol, weed, parties, and even fake religious virtue. We didn't stand up and tell our kids the truth because we didn't want conflict. We lost our kids because we wanted peace and quiet instead of teaching them about right and wrong. We literally let the mob educate our kids while we sat there quietly and bought their silence with platitudes and money and with toys. We didn't do the right thing. We didn't stand up to them, and we didn't stand up for them. And now they have turned against us. The chickens have come home to roost, and it's getting very late for the America that we know and love. I guess there's only one question left for all of you, my dear listeners. Will you stand up now, or will you just keep dancing while the band plays on and the Titanic sinks? It's time for us to take our first break. But when we get back, we're going to have an interview with a man who has finally decided to stand up and speak his mind. His name is Dylan. He's a regular guy, just like any of us. He could be your father, your husband, your best friend, maybe even your coworker or brother-in-law for that matter. He's a decent, hardworking family man who goes to church every Sunday, and I doubt he ever set out to hurt anybody on purpose in his life. But all that stuff didn't matter to his kids, his in-laws, his friends, and even a police department. So what was his crime, you ask? Did he hurt someone? Did he kill someone? Did he burn someone's business? Did he loot? Did he rape a woman? Is he a racist? Well, the answer is no. He did none of those things. He never hurt anybody. All he did was express a view on Facebook. A view that at any other time would have been nothing, just not even controversial to say the least. But being that he lives in Northern California, surrounded by left-wing fascists and PC bullies, he just had to be put in his place. His own children told him to stop saying what he was saying and switch his politics, or they will keep his grandkids away from him. But if you think the whole story ends with his ungrateful liberal kids, you're absolutely wrong. Many of his white friends turned on him also, telling him he had white privilege. Can you believe it? These rich hypocrites, these rich white people telling this guy who has been working ever since he was a kid that he has white privilege and called him a racist. And it didn't just end there with these jerks on Facebook. He actually ended up receiving threats to his job and safety from a person who's supposed to uphold the law and enforce our Constitution, a member of the local police department. Yes, a member of the local police actually dared to threaten his livelihood and his safety because he had an opinion that he did not agree with. Well, these are the kind of stories I've read about in the histories of communist countries and Nazi Germany and other totalitarian regimes. But never in my wildest dreams would I think that I would see this here in America in the 21st century. I hope you stick around and listen to our interview with Dylan, because Dylan represents each and every one of us. And what happened to him should never happen to anyone else. This is the AJ Steel Show.
The AJ Steel Show. Think of your loudmouth best friend, hated by all the wives, because he tells it just like it is. You finally see your love
belongs to me. Welcome back to the AJ Steel Show. Our show continues to grow every day, and I am so very humbled by all of your support. Please subscribe to our show for free and tell all your friends about us. We are available on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, YouTube, and many other fine podcast providers. You can also look us up on Twitter and Facebook, and I hope you follow us and interact with us from time to time. And now, without any further ado, our excellent interview with Dylan. Dylan, welcome to the AJ Steel Show here in San Francisco, California. I would like to start at the very beginning. You live in one of the wealthiest, most woke liberal places in America. And I'm assuming you were born in a mansion with lots of maids and gardeners and the like. And I want you to tell the listeners a bit about your white privilege. Tell us how you started out.
Okay, well, I started out early and had to spend a few days in an incubator in the hospital. After that, mom took off after 11 months, so I was raised by my father.
Was your dad rich?
No, not by any means. Loving father, not a rich father, but a very hard worker. He always tried to do what he felt was best and provide for me the best he could. But it's a challenge, even back then.
Sounds like you guys were extremely poor. Did you ever go hungry?
We never went hungry, but we did enjoy quite a few meals of, you know, government cheese and government milk and things like that growing up.
Wait a minute, but everybody's telling you that you have white privilege.
Yeah, I don't know where that comes from, because aside from having one parent and, you know, living in an apartment, I don't know how that defines privilege.
So I take it you didn't go to some kind of a fancy grade school or a private high school, did you?
No, I did not. I rode my bicycle to high school every day.
So wait a minute. You mean you didn't have a BMW or a Porsche, not even a Mercedes?
No, I had been working pretty steadily since eighth grade. So by the time I was 15, I had an old hand-me-down Volkswagen Bug that I was able to nurse to school and back once I got my license.
VW Bug. Yes, I totally remember those cars with that clutch, you know, and it wouldn't go in. The gear wouldn't shift right. And then you go up the hill and it would slow down because it couldn't make it with that little engine. So what kind of high school did you go to?
It was your standard suburban high school. It was mostly white students. There was maybe a quarter Latin and less than that of black people.
So you went to an average high school with a bunch of different minorities, people of different colors. It doesn't sound like a white privileged high school to me.
No, it was pretty much a run of the mill. There was, you know, every different lifestyle on display.
So somewhere along the way, you became this white privileged racist. You must have. I mean, when did you attend your first KKK rally? You must have burned a few crosses along the way.
Yeah, no, I don't remember that. I remember coming up through, you know, dishwashing jobs and delivery jobs and construction jobs, working right alongside every different race that would take a job.
Now, all this hard work must have paid off because you did go to an Ivy League college.
Right. Barely scraping through high school. There was no aspirations of college.
And no big inheritance or anything like that?
No, no. I've yet to see an inheritance of any sort.
Dylan, you're killing me right now. You're really killing me. What do you do for a living? I mean, you must have done something wrong along the way. Did you steal your job away from a more deserving minority or something like that?
No, I've always been, like I say, from eighth grade, always had a job, never really had a career. It was suggested that I join up in the electrical trade, and that's what it's been ever since.
So how many days a week do you work?
5 to 7.
5 to 7 days of work. Wow. That sounds like some kind of white privilege to me.
Like you say, we live in a very wealthy community, so you got to make ends meet somehow.
So basically, you're just a regular American with a wife and kids, and you go to church on Sundays, you ride your mountain bike for fun, and you work on old cars when you have some free time.
Yeah, it's turned into I work on old cars when I have to get to work.
Yeah, I remember those days. I remember them all too well. Now, apparently you found some time to be on Facebook too, right?
Yeah, you know, wind down time in the evening or a few minutes at lunch and, you know, just to kind of break up the day.
So this is where the story gets good or bad, depending on your perspective. And when we get back to the AJ Steele show, you're going to hear all about the drama and all the horrible stuff that happened to Dylan because he dared speak his mind on Facebook. This is the AJ Steele Show.
You're listening to the AJ Steele Show, where no topic is off limits, no discussion too harsh, no truth more true. The AJ Steele Show, we tell it like it is.
All I really want to be is a guy that gets a girl.
Welcome back to the AJ Steele Show, Dylan. We're talking about your Facebook page, and I'm wondering, was it some kind of a right-wing political kind of thing?
No, it's just mainly, you know, pictures of the kids, pictures of mountain bike riding, various cars that I find interesting, things like that.
So it wasn't some kind of a neo-Nazi page or even a Trump-supporting page and nothing like that?
No, for the longest time, I've tried not to enter that type of thing because it should be about fun and family and not really heavy topics, in my opinion.
And yet, for some reason, your family got very, very mad at you. I understand you have a son and a daughter-in-law that live in another state.
and they happen to be very liberal, which is okay. So this is where the story gets really good. Your daughter-in-law said that you are not allowed to see your grandchildren if you keep with your right-wing mantra. Is that it?
Yeah, they're basically exactly that. You know, you can't post your opinion on things and have it either be ignored or accepted and just move on. It has to turn into a big confrontation where visits with the grandchildren get threatened and things like that.
So what exactly did you post? Do you want to tell us?
Well, back in the early days of this whole COVID debacle, when it was clear that what was coming out in the media was not what was actually happening, I posted a meme about my opinion on the whole subject matter. And I, of course, expected some pushback and some different opinions. What I didn't expect was to get yelled at and basically turned away from my kids and grandkids because of my opinion.
Now, I know you love your kids. You love your grandkids. They're the most important thing to you in the world. How did this happen?
Because people can't understand that other people might have an opinion contrary to theirs. And it might be right or wrong, but it's their opinion. And I was raised that we all can have our opinions. And as long as you're not threatening somebody or being mean or nasty to somebody, then that's your opinion and that's okay.
You're absolutely right on this one, but it seems like freedom of speech is not something that all the liberals where you live believe in, or not even your liberal family members for that matter. So now you arouse my curiosity. What was this horrible thing that you wrote?
Basically that the terms pandemic and I can't even remember the other one were not the correct terms to be using. Once the numbers came out that didn't support those ideas, and it wasn't any sort of factual, like, you know, mantra or you guys are all idiots or something like that. It was just a smart alecky little meme to kind of break up the day and put my opinion out there without trying to start some huge family feud.
So that's all? That's all you wrote, really? My goodness. So what was the response to it?
I got a lot of support from people that are of the same mindset. And there was a few people that probably disagreed, but kept their opinions to themselves. And then there was those who disagreed and were very vocal about it.
Well, that's the ones we want to hear about.
Well, that would be the daughter-in-law and her family.
Her family got involved?
Well, yeah, you know, they kind of rally around each other. And somehow they know more than everybody else about the subject.
So I'm assuming they're doctors and bioengineers, no?
No, they're stay-at-home moms, school teachers, you know, average everyday people just like you and I. Well, me. I mean, you're the self-made millionaire.
But... Don't say that. Thank you. So they're average regular people, huh?
Yeah, just like, you know, the rest of us that are just going about our lives and have our different thoughts on the latest scare tactic or virus or media, whatever you want to call it.
So would you call these people crazy liberals, or are they just your garden variety average lefties?
I assumed they were average liberals until something like this comes along, which really polarized the country. If you're, you know, not of their mindset, then you want to kill old people. Hmm. And if you want your personal liberty to go out and enjoy your day, then you're just ignoring science and you're evil.
So this whole thing started out as a meme? Is that what you're telling me?
Well, it started out as a simple kind of smart-ass meme, and which turned into this argument about liberty and personal choices versus staying home and in fear. And it turned into this thing to where if you go out and you're not doing everything that the government says, then you're just evil and ignorant and you shouldn't be allowed to go out.
And what was your point? What was your retort to this?
My retort was, if you have any fear or any underlying conditions or anything about the virus, by all means, stay home, wear your mask, do what you feel keeps you and your family safe. For me, I'm going to go to work. I'm going to go ride my bike. I'm going to do everything I can to have somewhat of a normal life in this whole shutdown.
I think that makes perfect sense, but I guess it didn't make sense to her.
No, I mean, at no point am I risking my elderly relatives' lives or telling somebody that they're stupid for wearing their mask or stupid for staying home, anything like that. If you want to do things that way, more power to you.
I guess you're sort of a libertarian, huh?
Yeah, libertarian slash conservative. As I get older, it's funny how it arcs.
Well, I think we all start out as liberals at some point, and then we grow up and we become conservative, don't you think?
Yeah, definitely. I think as you grow and mature and realize what makes sense and what doesn't, and you kind of circle back to the original concept of the country in the first place. You know, individual freedom, individual liberty, doing what you feel is safe for you and your family.
So it must have hurt you to hear this kind of talk from your family.
Yeah, I was really surprised. We've had a good relationship and we've been able to talk about other things, but this was, it came out of the blue and it was very, very hurtful and surprising. I thought, what's going on here? It's one thing for two people to have an agreement or a disagreement, but to bring up the kids and future visits because we don't feel the same way about a flu or a virus, whatever you want to call it, it just struck me as completely ridiculous.
Sadly, I think this is happening all over America, and it really seems to be that it's the liberal side that just won't bend at all. I hear of people disowning their parents, of grandparents, not showing up to meals, not coming to Thanksgiving. It's a new insanity, isn't it?
Yeah, I see that all over, you know, the little bit that I'm involved in social media and the little bit that I'm around town and whatnot. If you're not following their rules, then you're just evil and you should put all your beliefs aside just to kowtow to what they think.
I think it's kind of weird because these people call themselves liberals, and the whole concept of being liberal is being open to new ideas.
Yeah, as long as it's their ideas.
You know, I'm very sorry this happened. I think this is horrible. If my kids did that, I don't know how I would take it. I really don't know how I would deal with that. It's just awful. It's awful that people put these kind of things ahead of family and love. You know, we can all disagree. You and I can disagree right now, but I wouldn't try to hurt you in any way.
Right, exactly. And it did, honestly, I kind of went, okay, well, maybe we won't visit. And maybe, you know, I don't need to. And I had never really felt that way before. We had looked forward to visiting until this thing came up and suddenly you can't travel.
Yeah, I think that's really sad. And I'm sure it's sad for your wife as well. It's just, it's not a good thing. And you have other kids.
Right. So it affects, it's just more than, you know, me versus them. It affects our whole family versus their whole family, which, granted, we are on opposite sides of a lot of things, but we've always been able to have family dinners and friendly chats and whatever. It's, this thing has just, I think between everything getting shut down and people being closed in their houses and brooding on things and just being unhappy in general, it affects every little decision, like a drug.
What an unbelievable story, Dylan. And what's really more unbelievable is the fact that you got in trouble even further down the road with different people. Apparently, you wrote something about graffiti and about Black Lives Matter, and people in the community turned on you and you got threats. And some of the threats were especially worrisome because they were made by people that work for the local police department. I can't even wait to hear all about that, but we're going to take a little break and we'll be right back with the AJ Steele Show. Don't go anywhere.
AJ Steele. Not right, not left, just right.
Dylan, welcome back to the AJ Steele Show. So we're talking about your Facebook post, how you got in this huge argument. I don't think you got an argument, but your daughter-in-law and mother-in-law, and they all wanted to ban you from seeing your grandkids. And I guess what you did for the sake of family and for peace, you stopped writing about the COVID virus. But that wasn't good enough, was it?
No, I basically posted that family is more important than putting my my feelings out there regarding this virus. So I'm going to stop and I'm going to go back to what I was posting before. You know, pictures of the kids, interesting cars, silly work stuff, things like that. And that lasted maybe a week or two. And then the next thing came up and we were off to the races again.
I guess you're just a troublemaker, Dylan. I didn't know. I thought most electricians do their job and then they go home. But you're just like to stir things up, huh?
Well, honestly, outside of social media, with working so much and family, there's not a whole lot of social activity. So you hear all these things all day, you read all these things all day, and you have a desire to put your opinion out there. And there's where social media comes in. And there's where your friends that agree or disagree come in. And it should be all accepting. You know, we talk about freedom of choice and pro-choice and your opinion matters and lives matter and whatever. But the minute you don't go along with somebody else on the left, then you're just this evil person that's a racist and a homophobe and everything else.
Let's put the COVID-19 thing away and let's talk about this latest incident you had that ended up, I think people started calling you a racist and you have white privilege and all this and that. What'd you do this time?
There was a local group, somebody posted a picture of a public building that got vandalized. And there was all kinds of people saying how they should leave it up there and it's a memorial to this person that got, you know, murdered. And I made a post about, or a comment about, why are we celebrating vandalism when I'm sure if the people that, you know, had any interest in this could have approached the business owners and they would have been more than happy to put up a banner, you know, in memorial to this guy. But instead, they had to go spray paint over somebody's building that they've worked their whole life for and support and spend their money on. Then to get called a racist and a bigot and ignorant because I feel like there's nothing wrong with cleaning up the vandalism is just ridiculous.
So let's not beat around the bush. The person that they vandalized the building, the supposed artwork or words that they spray painted were about George Floyd.
Yeah, it was his name spray painted on the side of a building. Not, you know, masked off and painted like a banner or a sign. It was just scrawled across the building.
Now, I did a whole show about George Floyd a couple of weeks ago, and I don't think he should have died the way he did, but he's not the kind of guy that you want to memorialize. He's no hero.
Not at all. I mean, no, he shouldn't have been killed. But at the same time, making him a martyr, in my mind, is just not what that term is used for.
Okay, so you wrote this whole post on Facebook about the fact that you don't think that vandalism is the way to go. And then everybody woke up. It turned into white suburbia hell for you, didn't it?
So that was on a local community page. And then I'm going over social media and I'm seeing these posts where people are getting yelled at and called racist for scrubbing the sides of buildings after riots and cleaning up after riots. And they're getting called racist and privileged and whatnot because they simply want to clean their neighborhood up. They want to get rid of the spray paint. They want to sweep up the broken glass. These are neighborhoods that were, you know, businesses that were minority owned, that were black owned, that were white owned, that were whatever. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. They have every right to want to clean up their business. They've worked hard for that business. They've put their personal property and stake and time and money into it. There's no reason to leave it like that.
Well, I find it funny and kind of sad and hypocritical that most of the people that usually call other people racists happen to be white themselves. They're the kind of white people that probably never hang out with black people ever. I know the neighborhood where you live. I know the general area where you live. And most of those people don't know any black people, period. And they call everyone else racist.
Well, that's what gets to me. I've run across people in all races, all colors throughout my whole life. Never had a problem with anybody. That's not good enough. It's not good enough to go about your daily life, treat people how you want to be treated, and work and live and spend time with your kids. No, you've got to march, you've got to vandalize, you've got to riot, you've got to protest in the streets and block traffic. How is that any more or less racist than just being nice to people?
So, Dylan, I'm a huge police fan. I've always supported the police. I have many policemen in my family, and I've always been a man of law and justice.
And lately, with all the stuff that's happening with President Trump and all the riots and all these, Antifa and Black Lives Matter, I've been wondering, how many of these cops are actually on our side? You know, you see those guys on their knees, you see them kneeling down, taking a knee, and it makes you wonder, are they on the side of law or are they on the side of the criminals out there? And you have an interesting story to tell that happened as a result of all this Facebook drama that we had regarding the graffiti.
Yeah, post where they had scrawled George Floyd's name on the side of the building, it dragged on and people were just, oh, you're a racist and you're this and that if you're not actively anti-racist. And I'm trying to explain that cleaning up graffiti is nothing about being racist. It's about cleaning up graffiti. And it turns out that words were exchanged and this and that. And I had someone in the thread tell me that I better step off because they know where I live. They know where I work. They know what I do for a living.
Wow.
Implying that who knows what could happen.
That's really scary.
Well, yeah, from a Facebook post where I was arguing that vandalism is wrong.
Now, you have a wife, you have kids, you're just a regular guy. I don't think you get in trouble with the law, do you?
No, we just go about our day, you know, go to work, go to school, go home. I haven't had a ticket and I don't know how long. I don't, you know, I don't go cause trouble. I mean, I don't even drink. It's
Well, you're a much better man than I am. But so somebody basically threatened you. They said they know where you live. What came of that?
Well, in response to that, I kind of turned it around on them and said, well, if you know where I live, come by. We'll have a barbecue. We'll talk about race relations. If you know where I work, hey, it's hot. Bring me some water. I'll pay you back. I'd love to, you know, meet and chat about this stuff. While this is going on, I get a private message from another friend of mine who happens to know that person. And they tell me that this person is employed by the local police department as a dispatcher.
Wow.
And that totally threw me for a loop. You know, here I'm thinking they're just making these empty threats, people on Facebook, keyboard warriors. Little did I know that they're using their power and their position to look up people's private information and use it against them on a public forum.
You know, that's very, very scary. And it's an absolute police abuse of power. But I'm sure no one out there is going to go out and march and protest to protect your rights.
That's my privilege.
The AJ Steele Show will be right back.
The AJ Steele Show. Think of your loudmouth best friend, hated by all the wives, because he tells it just like it is. You finally see your love
belongs to me. Dylan, welcome back. The story that you just told us about the police dispatcher basically doxing you, threatening that they know where you live, is not just unbelievable, it's immoral and it's actually criminal, in my opinion. Now, I know you live out here in California just like I do, and everybody out here is just absolutely insane. They're radical leftists and they can't handle any kind of dissension in the ranks. They can't handle anyone who is not politically correct. They can't handle anyone who thinks differently than they do. They're like little fascists, little tin pot dictators. That's what they are. But having said all that, you don't expect the police or somebody that works for the police department to behave that way. And it really makes me wonder, which side are the police on at this point? Maybe 50% of them are just radical liberals themselves. They've been indoctrinated. They drank the Kool-Aid. They've been completely deballed. And now I don't even know which side they're on. Are they on our side, the taxpaying people that pay their salaries? Or are they on the side of the barbarians and the thugs out there?
Yeah, you know, the recent events have brought that to my attention too. And I don't know, I'd like to think that most cops just, they are police because they want to help people, serve, protect, and that's completely honorable. Like, I wouldn't want their job, especially now. They've got targets on their backs. But of course, there's going to be ones that, you know, abuse their position, whether they're in the office, whether they're in a patrol car, whether they're whatever. But that, I don't think, is the majority, but they're the ones that get the limelight.
Well, I guess that whole white privilege thing wasn't exactly working for you in this case, was it?
Yeah, no, I didn't seem to be immune to threats and whatnot from somebody in the police department over a simple Facebook post condemning graffiti.
So what did you do? Did anything come out of this?
The last post I made was in reference to, if you believe that I'm honestly making remarks that would put anybody in harm or danger, that's ridiculous. My original thought and my complete thought is that I don't wish harm on anybody or anybody's property, period. Doesn't matter if you're black, white, rich, poor, whatever. Nobody has that right to damage your property because of something that happened that you weren't even involved in.
I absolutely agree with everything that you just said. It makes so much sense. But I guess there's a bigger question here. Where does this leave our country? Where is our nation headed if we can't even talk to each other anymore?
You know, that's the scary part. It's turning average people scared. If anything, it's doing more damage in terms of race relations than not. People are seeing videos of, you know, all kinds of scary things happening. And whether it be police kneeling, National Guard kneeling, gun ownership is going to go up for better or worse. People are going to have to take care of themselves.
Each man to himself, each man for himself. That's very sad because that's not what our country is all about. But I really wonder if our country can come back together again, or are we just too fractured at this point?
At this point, it's tough to say. I mean, you look at the stuff going on in Seattle, the stuff that happened in Minneapolis. We've got these mini war zones. I hope that, you know, they'll just kind of fizzle out. But I don't know if it's just going to breed more contempt and more problems between people that want to see it forced out versus people that are just willing to let it run its course.
It sure seems like there's a lot of people in this country who are so full of anger and vitriol and jealousy and a sense of victimhood. And I don't think any of them want to go back to the normal way that we used to be. And I can't remember anything like this happening in America in my whole lifetime. But I think it's much bigger than some white meth heads out there protesting for Antifa or some black people protesting for Black Lives Matter. I think there's something bigger driving this whole thing. It's something that's much bigger and much more sinister. And let me tell you, I'm very, very afraid for our country.
Yeah, you and me both. It's never been like this before. We've had, you know, race relations and arguments and whatever, but it's never been where you can't drive to the mall without getting pulled out of your car and beaten.
Dylan, now I'd like to switch gears a little bit and ask you a different kind of question. You told me earlier that you're a deeply devout man and that you and your family go to church every Sunday. And I know that the state of California doesn't make it too easy on you to do that these days. What are your feelings about all of these quarantines and restrictions that are placed in front of Christians and Jews, which in my opinion run completely contrary to freedom of religion, and they basically keep people from going to services?
I think it's ridiculous. I think that getting back to personal liberty, do you want to wear a mask or not? Do you want to go to church or not? If you're older or, you know, you have some of these underlying conditions that they've said is high risk, by all means, stay home, watch church online, whatever. I think for the government to close churches and keep marijuana stores open is absolutely ridiculous. It's unbelievable. Like, if I want to go to church, why can't I do that? If I sit in a space, social distancing, wear a mask, whatever, where has that been for the last 3 months? You know, people go to church for all different reasons, but the main thing is community. It's that sense of community. It's that sense of being with like-minded people, you know, whether you pray, whatever it is. And to have that taken away for no other reason that I can think of it's just ridiculous.
Do you feel that churches are being targeted in California and other liberal states?
I do. I feel that they are being targeted as more on the conservative side of things and definitely targeted by not allowing people to assemble, not allowing people to meet and talk with other people to spread whatever word they want to spread, keeping the kids involved in church, everything. And there has been, you know, online stuff, but it's not the same.
We all have our own way to God. And I think church and synagogue, those kind of things are very important to some people. And like you said, it's not just a social thing. It's a connection. It's a spiritual thing. And I agree with you. I think churches in America and synagogues have been targeted. We see it in New York. We see it in California. We see it all over the place. The question is, what solves all of these issues? Because in my mind, Black Lives Matter, Antifa, they're out there looting, scaring people, killing people, robbing people, burning things, and they're getting things done. And we're sitting here like good little kids, following the rules, going to work, doing the right thing, and we're getting screwed.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. It's all backwards. It's I don't want to go loot and burn and break windows in a church, but is that what it's coming to? Do we have to have a protest just to go to church? It's okay to attack people in the streets, to burn buildings, to spray paint, four funerals and a memorial and millions of dollars raised. Meanwhile, ordinary, everyday people can't go to church.
Or do other things, like go to work.
Right. You know, if you're deemed unessential. Who deems you unessential?
Well, I guess the bums in the streets are essential.
Well, yeah, if you're a bum in the street, you get, you know, free hotel rooms, you get free alcohol, you get free drugs, which doesn't make any sense to me at all. And yet I can't go down to the coffee shop and grab a cup of coffee on the way to work.
Well, you've lived in California all your life. You should be used to it by now, no?
Right, right. One would think, right?
We're coming to the end of our show, and I'm wondering if you have something to say to the audience of the AJ Steele Show.
If I could say anything, it would just be to keep fighting for what you think is right. Your personal freedom, your personal liberty, your church, your business, your whatever. You know, just keep fighting the good fight, and hopefully the right people will come out on top when this is all over.
Amen to that one. Dylan, I want to say thank you very much for coming on our show. I wish you the best of luck in life and in business, and we'd love to talk to you again in the future.
Thank you for having me on your show, and I really appreciate you taking the time to get my voice out.